It is 93.7 WEE. I and yes, Rich, Ken, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. We are right now live at Fenway. Everyone's starting to line up, going to the game. Hey, maybe, just maybe, magic might happen. Max Scherzer's been scratched. So it looks like we've got, what, a AAA kid coming up to?
AAA, this is our speed right here.
Beginning of
we got you, Blue Jays. You're going down Toronto.
Maybe they won't strand 13 men on base once again, which is just the way the Red Sox do things this season. But, man, if you're looking for joy and happiness, it's not always at Fenway Park, but it could be in the stands like it was this past Sunday when the Scottish fans from the Tartan Army and the World Cup came here. They're partying down the street from what I've heard as well over at the Cisco Brewery next to Fenway, I think starting around like 5 o'clock. So they've been everywhere. And it's been one of the cooler things that's happened to this city in a long time, because now it's not just the Scottish fans. You've got, I saw, you know, the Iraq fans were here, and now the Norwegian fans are everywhere. And they just came like within the last couple of days. There's videos of them rowing, you know, like just hanging out. I'll tell you what's wild is that they're doing a lot of this over towards like Faneuil Hall and that area, which, you know, sometimes can usually be touristy. And now they've taken it over.
They've made the tourist attractions like great to be at and see again.
Yeah.
They brought new life to the Cheers bar.
Right. Makes you want to go to Cheers.
Yeah.
But, you know, even Sam Adams, there was a report that the Sam Adams Brewery down there ran out of Sam Adams. Hennessy's, you know, they're talking about how that they ran out of beer as well. What is that Scottish beer?
Tennent's is their Scottish beer. The one place went through 150
kegs. 150
kegs. That is unbelievable.
Yeah. How do you plan for that?
They are drinking hard, and they're drinking early, and they're having a good time.
And they're tipping.
So that's the one thing, is that there was a big question as to whether or not this was going to backfire on many of the bars that are here. As a matter of fact, there were some bars that were complaining that they didn't want to stay open until 3, even though they put that ordinance out there, because they're like, you know what?
They don't tip. Europeans,
you know,
don't tip.
International people come here and they don't tip. And so some of these places said, we're going to put a 20% service fee that's on there. Well, thank goodness for stories like this one, because there is a bartender that works at the Harvard Gardens that's over near Beacon Hill, right down the road from where Faneuil Hall is and everything, not too far, like right around the corner, kind of near just past Government Center. And she went viral talking about what it's like to serve these crazy Scottish fans and Norwegian fans. And Kaylee Matalonis, she joins us right now. Katie, thanks for coming on with us.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, so Katie, give me like a behind-the-scenes look at what it's like being a bartender during this chaos.
I don't even know where to start. it's kind of insane, because not only do you have the soccer fans, but you also have the regular people in the neighborhood, and I already work at a busy bar. But I will say, like, these fans actually have a lot of patience with you, because it's not an easy job, especially when you have 50 plus people to take care of at once.
And so was there ever a chance that, did you guys have a problem restocking your beer? Because there's been a lot of bars that ran out.
We did run out of beer. Luckily, it was only for a couple of days, and we are fully restocked again.
for a couple of days? So
of every kind of beer, or just certain beers?
Certain beers. We got in the Tennent's, which I never heard of previous to this. Those sold out in about 2 hours. And then they also like the Coronas and, weirdly, the Sun Cruisers.
Oh, really? They're big Sun Cruisers fans, are they?
I would have guessed that.
So there was a video that you made that went viral. And can you kind of tell everyone what the video was and what was on that video that made everyone start retweeting it?
Yeah, of course. I just made the video for fun. I was coming off a high of one of the best shifts I've ever worked. And I just kind of wanted to highlight like the kind of business the World Cup was bringing. So I just talked about how much money I brought in just in a day shift alone. And I shouted out Scotland because they were more than half my customers for the day.
And how much money did you make in that one shift?
I made $950, almost $1,000.
Oh my God. Almost $1,000 bartending in tips on one shift.
Yes. I do want to preface that I was the only bartender working.
Are you kidding me?
Wow. You probably deserve every penny of that then. Oh, wow.
Why? What happened there? What happened, Katie? Why were you the only one?
Normal Friday, I bartend on my own, and that's how we played it, not expecting as big of a pop as we did.
Wow.
Wow. Because that's crazy. Because, Kaylee, did you, like, when you heard the World Cup was coming, did you have that feeling that a lot of these bars apparently did, and a lot of employees, that these international people, they don't tip? That's that because a lot of them in other countries, you know, they're not used to tipping. Did you have that fear before this week?
I did not have that fear. To be honest, I think when it comes to working, you have busy shifts and slow shifts, and your money always evens out. My job is to provide good service. Tips come along with that. I don't expect anything.
Oh, well, you know what's funny, Kaylee, is that there's been reports that some of these bars down at Faneuil Hall ended up putting a 20% service fee on the bill. So their employees would get paid. But what ended up happening was that the Scottish people were tipping so much more than that, that they were like, oh no, we got to get rid of that. We got to get rid of the fee. So it says to not keep these people from earning like more money.
I will say that did happen to me. They are extremely generous people.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, so are the Norwegians, have they been as nice as well?
I haven't encountered them yet, unfortunately.
Just the Scots?
They're coming.
Okay.
Just the Scots. I can't wait to meet them. I love this kind of energy and atmosphere, especially as a college athlete myself.
That's awesome. And everyone's behaving themselves, correct?
Surprisingly, yeah.
Do you understand what they're saying?
Yeah, right. Can you understand their drink order with their accents?
I just smile and nod. And you know what? I don't even think they care what I give them. They just say beer, and I give them beer.
That's awesome.
So the liquor is, it's just all beer, pretty much. Pretty 90 to 100% beer.
That's why they can drink all day.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, Kaylee, give your place a plug one more time, and where people can come by and see you and tip you, hopefully, as well as the Scots have.
I hope so, too. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks. That's Harvard Gardens. You can go see her down there over Beacon Hill. Appreciate it, Kaylee. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks,
thank you, guys.
Thanks, Kaylee. That's the one thing about, like, the Scots, and I've said this before, is that they don't seem to crash, and I don't mean, like, alcohol crash. I mean, like, attitude crash. Like, there's people who are, like, in a good mood, and they drink, and then they get angry, and it seems like the Scots are just, let's just keep going. Like,
I think everyone remains in good mood. They go silent for, like, a couple hours, like, during the day. They don't get mad. They just go stoic.
It is amazing how they don't ever stop. I mean, that's incredible. And you wonder, like, they keep playing these games. Are they going to... Don't they play down in Miami in a few days?
So that's, I think, where their next... Like their next matches will
does
be.
Does the Army just go down to Miami, or do they go home first?
They're walking there.
They're walking to Miami.
Right, and I think the English show up in a couple of days as well. So you've got Iraq. I have seen a decent contingent of the Iraq fans as well. Mm. They party
Friday's Morocco as well.
Is it okay? I've not seen anyone from the Morocco like fans yet, but the Iraq fans, they party late. Like I think it was Tuesday night. That they were at downtown, or Monday night, that they were at Downtown Crossing, and I was hearing like car horns and stuff until like midnight, essentially, like as I was trying to go to bed. It was really awesome. It was a huge party out there. But the Scottish people, they have a home down at Faneuil Hall, baby. They do not want to move from that area. That is their spot.
By the way, the Congo tied Portugal. Do we have to have, who was the guy that chastised us for not having the Cape Verdean tied?
Or was it Orlando? Was his name Orlando?
Came
at us for not recognizing Cape Verde.
If you have anybody from the Congo out there that wants to call him.
Hey, congratulations to the Congo. They are the 41st ranked team in the country. They just got had a tie with the 5th ranked country, Portugal.
They shut down Ronaldo.
I mean, to them, a tie, I mean, they get a point. That's huge. That's a huge win for them. One other thing about I find interesting is I'm reading this. I read this about fans from Japan. I forget where Japan is playing. But
oh, yeah.
Did you hear about what they're doing? They're basically... Yeah. Cleaning up after themselves.
Oh, I saw that.
But the Scottish are doing the same thing here in Boston. It's I'm just looking at
Boston Common.
Boston Common.
Yep.
Boston City workers are blown away by the fans from Scotland that they didn't even need to clean up anything because the fans themselves cleaned up after themselves.
You know what's wild, too, is that this is actually a really cool thing, and is that a lot of these people have come over here, and they had one impression of what America is, and now a lot of them are like, dude, America's the best. Like, I mean, there's that one German guy. Is he German? The dude who all of a sudden, he's like... you know, being flown all over the place because he did a review of Waffle House. It was like, Waffle House is the best. Like, freaked out. And like, everything, he's like, country music. Country music's the best. By the way, Stiz, do you have that Japanese fan? The one who is Japan playing in Dallas? I think that's where they're playing.
They started there, yeah.
Yeah, Stiz, do you by any chance have that clip? Okay. So
this has been my favorite, one of my favorite clips that I've seen so far of this. Yeah, you ready?
Yeah,
or you want to set it up?
Yeah, yeah. So this is just a reporter out in front of one of the stadiums, and Japan was going to be playing, and they interviewed someone who had traveled here to go see the team, and let's take a listen.
Yeah. Nice to meet you.
Okay, how you doing?
My name is...
Okay.
Yeah, my name is Hirochika Nakakuki.
Oh, wow.
It's live?
Okay.
It's live?
Yes, it's live, baby.
Yeah, yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
How
yeah.
excited are you?
I cannot speak English, but...
Okay.
But I'm excited!
I love it! Yeah, baby!
Toyama. Okay. Toyama. Okay? Toyama's message. Ippai. Ippai atsumeteru. Yes, collection.
Amen.
Message collections. Okay. Toyama's message collections.
I love it.
2-0 win Japan.
Tremendous.
I listen, as I said, I don't know if there's any American sport or anything right now that we can compare this to.
I gotta say, I don't know if I want to apologize, but I thought it would be a disaster. It has. Oh, the only thing was game one at Boston Stadium was a mild disaster, right? I mean,
getting in and out. She said it was awful.
Yep. And the sprinklers went off and they had a big puddle.
That was pretty bad, yeah.
And Kraft has sued the town of Foxborough for $1 million. But other than that, it's been pretty good.
Yeah. And the thing that's worked out well, as I said this earlier, as far as like downtown and all of that, the amount of people who have come in, it just takes the place of the college students that aren't here. So it doesn't feel like you're swamped. Now, if you're walking past the bell in hand, obviously you're going to have a bunch of kilts knocking into you left and right. But I mean, as far as just getting around and moving around and getting on the train and stuff, it seems like it's just normal Boston.
What do you guys think of this comparison? The only thing that I think can competes with what we're seeing here with the fandom and just the, I don't know, just how into it they are is college football.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
you know, you lived in Georgia.
Yeah.
Maybe not at Georgia Tech, but you.
No. SEC football.
SEC football.
I've been around enough. UGA, Florida.
The closest thing to what we're seeing.
Well, I do think maybe like 04 Red Sox, when you had, or Knicks,
yes.
Current Knicks,
yes.
When you have this long gap of 50 plus years.
Right.
Then it's a once right. in a, it's a perfect storm, so to speak. It's, you know, Bodie out on the in Point Break. Yeah.
the perfect wave.
100 year storm.
Yeah, right. yeah.
Unless this is like the World Cup. Was this like this in Qatar when it was there 4 years ago?
I'm doubting that it was. But this is, I mean, it's awesome. And I have a feeling that I'm going to love it for the amount of time it's here. And when it leaves, I'm going to be like, okay, I think that was enough.
Yeah, we're good.
But right now, I'm loving that we're smack in
let's
the middle.
Let's go see
of it.
The Odyssey.
Absolutely. 617-779-7937. All right, let's get into a little bit of this Red Sox. And also, you know what? There's some decent Patriots stuff that's out there we need to discuss as well. We're not going anywhere. We'll be back in 2 minutes. It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Shurtleff, Ken Laird, Ted Johnson. We're broadcasting from Fenway right now at the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. Brought to you by New England Ford Dealers and employee pricing for all. You pay what we pay. Ford, the official vehicle of Major League Baseball and that dirty water. And I wish we had a great team that's playing, you know, several feet from us. But unfortunately, this is a historically bad team. And they're one that, just like they've been doing all season last night, left 13 people on base. Hey, they got a ton of walks, though,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, you're sitting there going, well, they got one thing right, and then they obviously can't bring any of them home. I think like 8 hits as well, too.
8 hits, yeah. Yep, that's almost average.
But then, of course, you know, Peyton Tolley, who's been just money all season, gives up 2 home runs, and he's only given up 4 all year, and 2 of them were last night. So it's just they can't put – one area of the game is doing great, and then the other falls off.
You should have stopped there. That should be the theme. They can't.
They can't.
2026 Red Sox. They can't.
There's just, and I think you said it best, Ted, too, is that there's just it's impossible for this team to catch any momentum.
Like
I remember the Braves. Remember I was like got all hot and bothered when they won those games against the Braves.
Yeah, we remember.
Of course, nothing happened.
It was one game, not those games. They won one game,
but they got close. The other ones, they were scoring runs.
You're right.
And then you had this series that everyone thought that, you know, you win 2 against
series,
the Rangers.
Beat DeGrom, yeah.
Yeah, and then even in the game that they lost, there was still some offense there. Maybe you can do something with that. And, of course, we saw last night that it's just inevitable. They're like Thanos. I am inevitable that I'm going to suck if you were the Boston Red Sox. But there is, that leads to, how do you fix it? What do you do? And Buster Only, who we've had on before, very controversial, Buster Only.
Controversial on our show.
On our show, yeah. Absolutely. Say, he was the one who broke the news that he said that that ownership was actually making calls to try to make some sort of move on this team, which yep. is very strange. But he has come out with a list of the GMs that he believes are most on the hot seat this season. And I have not seen the list. I saw you guys talking about it. You have it in front of you?
I do.
Okay. How many GMs are on this?
12. There's 12.
12. Can I ask where?
You want to guess?
Can I ask where Breslow is? Can I guess where he is?
You can guess where Breslow is. Yeah. Have you seen this list?
I have not seen the list.
So you guys can guess. Where do you think?
Quick shout out to Megan on the Greg Hill Show. She said she asked the question, which I thought was hilarious. Do they reset Bresbot every night? Like, did they plug him in and like have him reboot before the morning and like it charges up during the night? Anyway, go ahead.
I'm gonna guess, just because there's probably one that I haven't thought of that's like super nerdy, I'm going to say that Breslow's 2.
All right. Breslow's 2. What do you think, Ken?
Oh, he's got to be high. Give me 3.
Okay. It is number 1, Scott Harris of the Detroit Tigers. He has listed as the general manager, most likely to go. And number 2.
And they might trade Skubal, so that's big.
That's it. That's right. And their plan is that they're going to keep him on to make that deal. Well,
that's so dumb. I don't get that. Why are you keeping GMs to make trades and then firing them?
Good question. Number 2, Mets, David Stearns.
Oh, there you go.
Is that number 2? And number 3, Boston Red Sox.
Bang, how about that? Coming through.
He says this. He says this about Breslow. Breslow got a vote of confidence recently from the Red Sox president, Sam Kennedy, but the fan base is frustrated, and the team, which is stagnant offensively for much of the season, hasn't played better since Alex Cora was fired. There's much speculation about Breslow's status in the Boston media, though that doesn't mean he's in jeopardy of being fired. But whether Red Sox add or deal by August 3rd, Breslow's performance at the deadline will impact the local narrative about his work. He needs some success in trades, whether he adds or subtracts.
Let me ask you something real quick, because we had Sean McAdam on, other than the thing that bothered me where he said that, you know, John Henry was everywhere and he was talking to reporters off the record and didn't want to, like, you know, that pissed me off, because I'm like, if you're going to continue to talk to, like, show up at all these places and talk to reporters off the record, you obviously want them to say something but not say that it's from you. So go on the effing record. Like, that kind of pissed me off when he said that.
One note about that, Bradford texted me and he said, just mention this if you could. When I get John Henry off the record, it's nothing. It's all small talk. It's nothing pertinent. He did that to us in New York. So,
okay.
So that may be just one reporter. I don't know if they're all getting nothing.
Okay.
Yeah, I got a sense too that, I mean, Sean basically just said that John's just kind of there. He's just in the back drum. There's John Henry. Oh, look at John. He's
incidental, I think he called
it. Yeah, incidental. Oh, there he is. Walking to his car. Oh, there he is.
It's
more that than it is him talking to people.
Kind of like Jackson at the building, you know. He's just sometimes Jackson, it's incidental Jackson.
That's it.
But I was thinking about it, and you know, there was talk yesterday, and Sean kind of laughed about it. He goes, you know, John Henry's obviously not going to sell the team, even though there's a lot of people saying sell the team. I want to ask you guys, if John Henry today announced that he was selling the team, what is the first emotion you would feel?
Oh my God,
I would love it.
It would be like Tartan Army. I think chance across the region, don't you think? People would be so moved by that.
He was just so good for so long. Yeah. Like, that's the one thing that's so wild about
it, is
how it's just gone in a completely different direction. Because,
true.
Sure, like, when I first heard it, was like, hell yeah, sell the team. Steve Sarks got to go do a better. But then you think, man, at one point, dude, this guy was one of the best owners in sports.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so you...
It would be kind of like Caesar. You know how he's celebrated? He's the most famous, like... Roman emperor or whatever, but like during the time they turned on him, you know, they killed him,
sure.
Obviously. So it's like, he's
gonna be Alex Cora coming back.
But don't you
E2 Cora?
Don't you feel like it would just be more the same? Isn't it not? Pretty much everybody that buys these teams are all private equity guys. Like, it's more of just another investor, you know, kind of like some people think the new Celtics owner is just another private equity guy that's just part of the portfolio is owning a sports team.
But that's now. But I mean, when you tell the John Henry story, you'll go back to the breaking of the curse and everything he did to save Fenway Park. And obviously, we were just talking about Eddie Andelman. He had so many rants about how lousy the park was and the park food is. You've got to give him that. Like, the experience here is now good. The food is good. The entertainment around here is good. Now, all your money might be, it's a lot of money, and you might be going to FSG. But you come here and you'll get a good experience.
Well, I mean, what was the book where they were talking about the monster? Or they said it was like, basically, this was a Tom Werner thing, I believe, who wanted this to be a huge show. He wanted the big names. He wanted like the, you know, the stadium to have all the, you know, the ex players come out and make a big extravaganza out of it before games. I mean, they roll out ex players all the time. It's the 15th anniversary of a game you totally forgot. And it's like, they'll get out there. Yeah. But that was the one thing that for a while got kind of gross, but at least they were investing money into the team. And then ever since Dabrowski's been gone, it's like he doesn't care. He doesn't talk to the media. He doesn't seem to be putting his resources into it. It just doesn't seem like what it used to be. And what it used to be was excellent. I mean, he truly was one of the best owners in sports. And that's why I thought about it. It's like, if they were to sell it, there's part of you that would sit back and you're like, all right. Part of you thinks that maybe there's a chance that someone might like remind him of that or just say, dude, get back to your roots. Be the owner that you used to be.
In the game notes at the top every day is, we have four titles this century. No other baseball team can say that. I mean, and that's the facts. You know, they are the best, most successful baseball franchise in the 2000s.
Yeah, the thing I have a problem with is the spending. I'm going to always harp on the spending. If they're the 12th, they're 12th in spending. Is this the 12th rated fan base? What do you think the fan base for the Red Sox is?
One, two, three. Like, what top three?
So you should be a top three in spending. That to me, the fan base deserves you to spend what you're getting back from the fan base. So to me, this is one of the best fan bases that shows up for your team. You should spend money on your team because of how great your fan base is.
It's funny, when I get nervous and then I just think to myself, you know, people change. Philosophies change. And I believe that whereas John Henry may have been one of the greatest owners in sports for a period of time, you can not be that. You can just decide, I'm not going to put the effort into it that I used to. I've got other investments. To me, this is no longer, I can't wait to win a championship. I've won them. And at this point, it's about making money. Philosophies can change. And I unfortunately think that's what's happened with John Henry. So if you ask me how I would feel if it was announced today that he was selling the team, I'd probably be more happy than sad. I'd probably be like, all right, it's about time. You know what? It's the turkey timer popped. Yep, I know this was the moment that you should have done it. And so,
however, we've heard nothing close to that, right? I mean, it appears like Linda's going to run it into perpetuity.
Mm-hmm. And that's not great. And that doesn't make me feel good. You know what I mean? So the more I think about it, the more I'm like,
what's your owner's rankings in Boston right now? If you had to put the Jacobs family, the Chisholm ownership group, which has come in, the Crafts.
I would say Kraft. I don't know the Chisholm family.
I think you got to put them four just because they're unknown.
I would say then I would say, God, I'd have to.
You'd have to go Kraft and then
Jacobs
and then John Henry and then the Jacobs and then and then Chisholm then.
Yeah.
Jacobs is.
So he's still, it's like he's a top two owner in Boston. I agree. Like, it's not like John.
Yeah, but we have one unknown, and I don't think the Jacobs are bad owners. They get a lot of crap. I don't think.
Well, they're fine now with the cap. That's probably what John Henry's saying. Look, you used to crush the.
But
Bruins.
This team's awful. Like, they're not competitive. Like, this
who's not?
The Red Sox.
Well, they were last year.
Yeah, but
and they didn't capitalize on that momentum. They got worse.
You're right.
They think they got better. They got worse.
And their whole philosophy changed. The Bruins, I think, are trying to put together a good team. They are. But they're not doing a great job, but at least you can tell the effort is there. But in this case, it's like, I just don't even, they're leaving it up to computers. I mean, everything you read about Breslow, it's not the, it's almost like lazy baseball management. It's
AI baseball.
It is. It's like, plug it in. Which players should we get? Put in your algorithm. Under the age of 30, can play more than one position. If you are not X, then you are not signed to this team.
Drive line, pull side.
Yep.
Their algorithms thought that this team was going to be a win in the mid-90s.
Yep.
If we can sit there and complain about the quality of the players, quality in the analytics, the guys in the front office and these analytics guys suck for the Red Sox.
It is. I just thought about that. If he was to sell the team, how would I feel? And I think I would feel okay. I think that despite him being one of the greatest owners, really, in sports history, when what he was able to do when he came here and turned things around, there's not even a question. But if it was to sell the team, I'd probably be pretty happy. All right, 617-779-7937. We have someone who's going to explain to all of us what we should be caring about here in this World Cup. Charlie Davies will be on with us right after this. It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Shirtley, Ken Laird, Ted Johnson. We are live at Fenway Park right now. And if you have stepped outside your home for 3 seconds, you've probably seen someone in a kilt or someone rowing in the middle of the street. or someone wearing a flag, and you're like, which country was that? And you have to Google it. But World Cup fever is here. And I have to be honest, it's a lot better and a lot more fun than I thought it was going to be. And outside of actually getting to the stadium, it seems to be a lot more feasible. Like, people are getting around easily, it seems like, and everyone's getting along.
It's... Ted said his son went to the game yesterday.
Yep, had a great time. Got in there. It was no problems at all. I mean, it's awesome. Smooth sailing. Yeah, it's, they've worked out all the kinks.
It's amazing how that was the game with the cheap seats, and the cheapest seats were like $600, right?
Oh, they were as low as 400.
Oh, they got out of 400. Okay, wow. Oh,
that was the game to go to yesterday. And it was a good game. It was tied 1-1 for, you know, at least the first half was a tie, and then Norway pulled away in the second half. But the seats were affordable. Getting in and out was easy. So that was the game to go to yesterday, Norway versus Iraq.
Excellent. Well, Charlie Davies, everyone knows him. He obviously is a major star and also Revs Radio, and he is somebody that we like to bring on who could set us straight when it comes to all things the World Cup and whether or not this American team has a shot, because, my God, I did not expect the performance that I saw there. Hey, Charlie, thanks for coming out with us, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I'm proud to be making my debut with you guys.
Nice. There we go.
That's awesome, Charlie. Well, what a time to do it, too, because I'm literally looking outside and seeing men in kilts. This is something else.
Hey, it's incredible. For me, you know, I grew up in Manchester, New Hampshire. You know, I went to Boston College. New England is my home. It's in my blood. And I've always felt like I've had to fight the good fight. You know, soccer was never popular growing up. You know, Ted, we were too busy watching the Patriots do their work, you know, the Red Sox, the Bruins. And I always felt like I had to prove to everybody, hey, soccer's a cool sport. It's a global sport. And now it feels like the Bostonians are understanding that through, you know, their experiences with the Scots. It's a generational celebration. Everybody's getting an understanding now of why, you know, having people visit and bringing their songs, their clothing, their food, their traditions, their personalities into a city like Boston is such a fantastic experience.
It's been, I mean, definitely, we've talked about how they're kind of putting American fans to shame, sports fans. It's a new level. It's an extreme type of fan, isn't it, Charlie?
So I left Boston College to go play in Stockholm, Sweden, and then I went to France and Denmark, and everyone always asked me, is it that much different playing soccer in Europe than it is in the United States? And the answer is 1,000%, and you're getting to understand why, because it's so much more than sports. You know, it's a religion. It's what brings people together. It's what brings communities together. And I've been very fortunate to play for some of the greatest fans in the world. If you go to Stockholm, Sweden, you get to go to a Hammarby game in the south of Stockholm. You will be amazed at what it means to these people week in and week out. When you win, free food, you go to places, you get free drinks, and when you lose, you better stay at home and make sure that you get a win the next time you play in front of your fans.
Well, Charlie, this was the first game from the U.S. men's national team was definitely not something that I expected. I mean, I hate to say it, but mm-hmm. you know, you didn't expect greatness coming out of them, and what we saw was a team that was dominant. And I don't know whether or not I don't know enough about the team or what I watched to figure out whether or not they're actually that good or this was a fluke. What can you tell us about this American team and what our expectations should be?
Well, I think there are a lot of people in the same boat as you were in terms of not knowing what to expect from this U.S. team now. But after watching them play against the Paraguay side, now Paraguay is not France and they're not Argentina. Okay, so you know there can be two truths when it comes to this performance. Paraguay are not the best team, but they are a resilient team and a tough team to score goals on. So the fact that the U.S. scored 4 against Paraguay is something to be said. That's a tremendous accomplishment. In saying that, I think the U.S. are on an incredible path. That's a great start to the tournament. They set the tone. And so this is a team, if they're playing the way they did against Paraguay, there's no reason why they shouldn't be in the quarterfinal at least, which is the ultimate, I think, barometer for success for this group.
Charlie, considering how big, you know, the United States is, I mean, it feels like the game should be more advanced than it's than it is maybe at this point. I'm just curious what you think about that and how do we get, you know, better, you know, teams? Because, I mean, the athletes, we have so many athletes in this country, but yet, you know, our soccer team maybe isn't up to where it needs to be. And I'm just curious what you think if this new college soccer schedule system, I guess they're going to a two-semester, year-round model for Division I men's soccer starting, you know, in next year. And if you think that's going to help, or just how do we kind of identify the better players in this country so that we can put a better team out there?
Well, I think it's important to note we're probably 100 years behind the rest of the world, you know, because the last World Cup that the U.S. really had a significant impact was 1990. Before that, it was 1950. So there's a 40-year gap. We're talking about generation on generation on generation. And so, you know, growing up, I think you found some people that were, you know, well-versed in the game, but there weren't a number of top coaches around the country. Now we're looking at 2026. It feels like there are a number of top coaches and the infrastructure is improved drastically. So I don't think it's not going to be too long before you're starting to see a U.S. team that can really realistically be in a semifinal of a World Cup. Because in 2009, we got to the finals of the Confederations Cup and we beat Spain in the semifinal, and Spain hadn't lost in 2 years and they won the 2010 World Cup. So we're right there. And I think the college setup now changing now is going to be seen as a place where you can go to develop, because realistically a college season in 3 months and you're playing every two or days and you're playing in on turf and your kids can't really, you know, have training. So the practices aren't really beneficial for kids. You're just trying to manage time. It's not great. So if you're in the pro environment, you're saying if you go to college, you're setting yourself back. That's not a place you want to go. Whereas now you can look at it and say, okay, this is more of a holistic approach. Now guys can really train. Coaches have the freedom to really practice and train and grow kids. So I'm all for it.
Hey, Charlie, of the three great stars we saw yesterday with Kylian Mbappe and Haaland here in Boston and Messi, who's the best of that group and why? Like, what separates them or those three from the rest of the pack?
Well, can we really have this type of debate when Lionel Messi has now scored in 5 World Cups? He has scored now a record 16 goals. He's tied for the most goals ever scored in a World Cup in total. And Messi is just, he's in a different planet. He's in a different category. Now, with that being said, Kylian Mbappe, you know, at such a young age, had won a World Cup in 2018. He scored a hat trick in the last World Cup final against Argentina and Lionel Messi. So he still has another World Cup or two in his future. But Messi is in a whole different category of fish. I mean, this is a really special player. He's the Michael Jordan. He's the Tom Brady for anybody here listening in New England that maybe isn't too familiar with where Messi is in terms of all-time greats. He's the first player probably etched in. I don't want no disrespect to Pelé, because Pelé was you know, the kid who scored at 17 years old in a World Cup final. He's the youngest player to score in a World Cup and the youngest player to score in a World Cup final. So maybe Pelé's one for me just on that historical piece, but Messi is right there as number two.
Charlie, tell us what chances our Scottish friends have.
Huh. You know, I love the Scots, and I love the energy, and I love how the Bostonians have embraced them, but I love how they've also embraced Boston. And by the way, I think there are a number of people who said, oh my God, the World Cup's going to add so much traffic and boo World Cup and boo soccer. And now people can't get enough. I can't tell you how many Bostonians have said, I don't want this World Cup to end. I don't want the Scots to leave. And by the way, the Moroccans and the Iraqis and the Haitians have been incredible as well. And they all clean up after themselves. So not only do they spend all the money here in Bostonia and help our small businesses and help our cities continue to grow and thrive, but they also clean up after themselves. And there's been no violence and no fighting. So let's make that first and foremost how great it's been for the world to come visit Boston. But I think the Scots will get out of the group for sure, you know, whether it's first, second, or third, because there's three, 8 third-place teams will advance out of the group stage. So that's great for the Scots. they're going to continue to live at least one more day after the group stage.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. We had one of the radio hosts here, Kat, and she's covering the Scotland team. And just when we played in her headphones, the crowd singing their national anthem, she started tearing up. If they make it out of the group, I mean, it's going to be a lot of grown men crying. There's going to be a lot of kilts of flying all over Faneuil Hall.
Just think, a small country like Cape Verde, they get a point against Spain because they tied 0-0.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Everybody's crying. You know, a team like Curaçao, they lose 7-1, but they scored that one goal. Everybody's crying.
Yep.
You're just so happy to be in the conversation, to have your country be highlighted around the globe. It's just an incredible, incredible tournament.
Well, Charlie Davies, we'll check in with you as this thing moves on. And as I said, you know, if America continues to impress, I mean, no one expected that. None. But if they don't, my heart's with Scotland.
But Charlie, wouldn't it be, I mean, if the U.S. men's national team does show out, doesn't it just help so much to, as far as inspire kids to want to play the game? It'd be huge if they could do that, right?
Yeah. I went to 1994 World Cup, and I went to South Korea, Bolivia. I had no idea about the game of soccer. I had never seen it played. I had never heard of those countries. And the game of 0-0 was the worst game of that World Cup. It happened to be here in Foxborough. And I was inspired for the rest of my life. I said, this is what I want to do. So imagine the U.S. now doing incredible things and making a long run in this tournament. By the way, you guys might be talking about the New England Revolution over the Patriots and the Red Sox and the Bruins. And then that's when we'll say, hey, soccer has made it.
I would temper the expectations a little bit.
I can hold my breath.
hey, can we all dream here? Come on.
You can all dream.
Yes, we can. Yes, there are some dreams.
Stop here with the Scots. Let's talk about the revolution more, huh?
There we go.
That's right. All right. Well, Charlie, great stuff, man. We'll keep in touch with you throughout the World Cup, buddy. I appreciate you calling
Thanks, Charlie.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
All right, thanks, bud. By the way, Wiggy said something this morning, Ted, that might be controversial in your eyes. I can't wait to hear your reaction to this. We will get to that right after this. It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Shurtenlieve, Ken Laird, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson with a line full of Red Sox fans outside, actually, and a few Blue Jays fans. You know, Max Scherzer isn't playing tonight, right? He's not
pitching. Scratched,
unfortunately.
Losers.
You're still going to win.
World Series losers.
Even as a Red Sox fan, our team's not that great right now.
Run home, Kyle Falefa. Run home.
That's right. And listen, the Red Sox fans, hey, it's great if we get a win. That's nice. When you hear Scherzer's not pitching, you're like, this.
We got a chance.
Maybe, just maybe, as I keep saying, we're not going to strand 13 men on base like we did last night. And we seem to do every night. We will see. We shall see. But I love it when they're all lined up getting ready to go in. Did you say it was John Williams bobblehead night?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
There we go.
That's the weirdest thing ever. Sorry.
Oh, Boston Pops.
You know, so weird. Oh, okay. Well, he was?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was the legendary guy.
And I did not realize that. Yeah. So I take it all back.
Boston icon. The guy who wrote the song. He wrote the theme to Jaws.
I know. I didn't know he had ties to Boston. So that was
Angry Jurassic Park textures earlier saying you left that off your list.
Oh, that's
it's not in the top five.
Really?
No. Number five is Home Alone. Number four is Star Wars. Number
That's
three
too low for Star Wars.
Dude, listen to the top three.
Okay.
Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Number two is Jaws. And number one is E.T.
Star Wars 1, Jaws 2.
Two notes, right? I mean, Jaws is just...
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, no. it's so great. But it's classic.
It is classic.
It might be the most recognizable theme song of any movie.
It might be.
Yep.
Probably is. You're
But E.T. is the only, it's the only song that I've ever seen make grown men cry consistently. The ending of E.T., and it's not that, and listen, Spielberg was great, don't get me wrong. It's that song. It's the dun, 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 dun. And Elliot's looking up there and the wind's blowing in his face and then it, boom, cuts to black. I have seen grown men cry, more grown men cry in that movie. And I've talked to people who's watched their dads cry at E.T. because of that song. That is powerful, my friend. That is 100% power right there.
No doubt.
All right, speaking of power, let's talk about power lists, power rankings. And Wiggy made his own this morning. And is this of, he believed, the top five quarterbacks of all time?
Yeah, so somehow we got into quarterbacks of all time.
Is this, or is this of now?
No, no, all time.
All time.
All time. But I still think it's controversial.
Okay.
But I want you, I just wanted Ted to respond because they were going through the list. I'm a sucker for top 10, five quarterbacks of all time, anytime. Like, you can bring this topic up anytime. But Stiz has Wiggy's list.
Okay, let's take a listen.
All right, top five of all time. Obviously, Brady. I'd probably go Peyton Manning number two.
Good choice.
Oh, God.
You're only picking guys who threw passes to you? That's
I'm going biased. Off of
I probably
guys,
would too.
You know,
you're
that
biased.
Marino would probably be my number three.
What? Over Mahomes?
Would I put Mahomes up there right now?
What about Elway?
Elway would definitely be up there. I was going to have Elway. I was thinking five. I was wondering if I should put Mahomes or Montana at number four.
You have to have Joe Montana there.
Don't do it, Wiggy. Don't count out, Wiggy.
Sean, get lost.
Playing the quarterback position, Wiggy.
I'd probably tomorrow. Right, enough, who you take? Mahomes.
Okay, so that is just an outrageous top five by Wiggy. That's crazy. Now, Ted, you played the game, and you played against some of these guys, so... From a defensive perspective, give me your top five.
I would say top five. I'm gonna put I would put Manning at number five. I would put
which much better. He had him two.
Yeah, Peyton was a hell of a quarterback, but he's not the second best quarterback of all time. Are you kidding me? I would put Manning at five. I would put Marino at four. I would put Elway at. Wait a minute. I would put, Manning at five, Marino at four, Elway at three. I would put, sorry. I'd put Manning at five, and then I would put Marino at four, Mahomes at three.
Ooh.
And Montana?
Montana at two.
Okay. Yeah.
And Brady at one.
All right. Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
That's and? Better. I got Brady one. I would put Montana two, and then I probably would go Peyton three, and then Elway four, Mahomes five. That would be, and then maybe Drew Brees six, if you want to go.
Of all time, Drew Brees.
I think he's just got so much, the numbers are crazy.
You don't put Favre, would Favre be a consideration?
Favre would be after that, and then Bradshaw, Marino, Aaron Rodgers, that sort of thing.
Yeah. I Manning is two is not, that's too high.
That's way
too
high. Yeah. I mean, he's won two Super Bowls.
Can't
one
ahead of Montana.
One of them.
One's not because of him.
Correct. Correct. And Elway was just a more dynamic player
than
Manning. You know, and Marino, I don't know. He had Marino pretty high too, didn't he?
Yeah, way high. I don't have him that. He didn't never won. I mean, he's statistics, but I'd have him 10th, you know, maybe.
I will go number five, Mark Sanchez. Number four, Rex Grossman.
Oh, great.
Super Bowl.
How about that?
Player,
Joe
Rex
Milton
Grossman.
Make your top five?
Brad Johnson.
Number three, Brock Osweiler.
Yep.
Number two, we'll throw in Tom Brady. And number one, Tim Tebow.
Oh, you know,
let it be written, let it be done.
Belichick always had Burt Jones up there. You know, that was his.
He
said best all time.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, we really say that.
Just like a Belichick.
Still doing these days. Where's Bill? He's been out of the news cycle.
Ready for the comeback.
Jordan popped up, popped up a second ago, or like a couple days ago. Remember? What was that all about? I don't know. I got like a text from either Stiz or somebody.
Yeah,
it was
me.
Jordan.
So, Ted, she filed a, I don't know if it's a FOIA, Freedom of Information, but she's demanding all the email correspondence between UNC staff and Belichick and her.
Get this. So the head coach of UNC's football's girlfriend is wants the school to show her correspondence between them and other entities. It's like,
well, when you
Bill,
put it
what
like
are you
that.
Doing, dude? What are you doing?
That'll make him more well liked amongst his employers.
Seriously,
he's trying to get fired, right?
Does he win more than four games? He won four games last year.
Yes.
Does he win?
Yes, he does.
I don't think so.
I just think because you can't do much worse than four games.
Yeah.
That's as awful as it
you know
can
how many
be.
Games he lost like in the last just minute of the games just because of bad.
It takes him a year to get going. Same with
that's
here.
What he always
go. Was it his first game that like they scored right off out of the box?
Right out of the
game.
Like,
whoa, the
first series. There's Jordan's up there. Lawrence Taylor's up in the stands.
And then they just got
smacked.
Went
downhill.
Absolutely destroyed.
Incredible.
Oh, man.
I can't get enough UNC football.
Is that a top five moment in your life watching that season?
That was fun. But you know what? Just because I pretty much said that was how it was going to go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's how it ended here. So, I mean, you know, it was kind of a continuation. All right. 617-779-7935. We are not going anywhere. We'll be back in 2 minutes.